Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Bottom line, there are two things deep state globalists cannot abide. Two hills they will die on. Two things they will protect at all costs. Two things that will trigger from them a nuclear reaction. A scorched earth policy. Two things that will make them go totally Sherman. The two pillars supporting the entire globalist agenda set upon these hills right now are, first, protect the Dominion machines. Second, stop Trump. And it looks like our Samson is going to set himself between these pillars. And will he bring the whole house down upon all their heads? Update on election month. You get it? But really, I have some important fact-based insights that should encourage conservative, especially Bible-believing, God-fearing, America First patriots. The dump Trump narrative is beginning to boil up, pushed forward by the deep state-controlled media. And this is something that should not surprise any of us. Neither are we surprised that the anti-Trump pro-MAGA conservatives are taking advantage of this environment to pile on. But what is surprising is the number, at least at present, of once MAGA loyalists that are joining the dump Trump chorus. For example, Newt Gingrich and many of the talking heads on Fox and the New York Post and others in conservative social media. Many don't want to look at this development. I understand it is deeply disturbing to us who are America First patriots, but we cannot ignore it. We ignore it at our peril. In fact, right now is the time to hash this out, not halfway to 2024. Let's consider an alternate explanation of the DeSantis phenomenon, shall we? Why has Trump begun to diss Florida's most popular governor? America's governor, you know, DeSantis has done for Florida what Giuliani did for New York City. In many ways, there are a lot of parallels there. Giuliani became America's mayor. So is it saying too much to refer to DeSantis as America's governor? Will he become America's president? The brain masseur recognizes the huge contribution he has made in his leadership in Florida to light the path forward for all other states to see. But anyway, it's a full plate today already. But the wave of truth, or the truth wave, is building and the storm is coming. Okay, my friends, let's get into it, shall we? It's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Do you remember the hopeful days of the Arizona forensic audit? The election officials fought hard, but then finally yield to having the audit, and then fought hard and finally yielded to who would do the audit, and fought hard and finally yielded to how it would be conducted, and fighting every inch of the way. And to good effect, they managed to set some parameters in place that compromised the effort. They set some traitors on the team to thwart the effort. And remember that it all came down to the routers. Remember, moi said, they will die on that hill. The auditors would never be given the routers. I explained that, you know, Katie Hobbs with her faithful officials over the Maricopa elections would reluctantly yield every hard-fought battle in that audit, but there was one hill where they would go scorched earth before they would allow it to be taken, and that was the routers. I said, they'll never get the routers because that's where the smoking gun was hidden. The routers would provide the kind of proof of foreign interference and other shenanigans in our elections that would forced the hand of those corrupt government officials who were blocking justice, and it would push them out of the way to let judgment fall on these perps, allowing justice to return, at least to Arizona elections, and it probably would have been a domino thing that would go across the nation. Well, you probably remember that that is exactly what happened. We saw this also in Antrim County, Michigan, and in every other place where access to the Dominion machines was being pursued, where it was aggressively obstructed. We saw it in Colorado, where the Colorado Secretary of State ordered the Mesa County Dominion machines to receive an unscheduled, what was it called? I think it was called a safe update or something like that. When Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters heard about this, she decided, I think, appropriately, to have the machine data backed up before they arrived. And by the way, that's something you would normally do before you did any kind of update. You would back up your data first. Not these guys. That's because they weren't there to back up data. They were there to erase data. Can you believe this triggered the Secretary of State, Grizzly Griswold, Democrat, to go totally out of her mind in rage and attack Tina viciously, using every political tool at her disposal to ruin Tina Peters? And no one asked Griswold, what exactly are you so worked up about? All Tina did was perform her due diligence as county clerk and back up the data on those machines, intending to protect the data according to the laws of her state against the possibility it would be compromised by the Dominion Secure Update, or whatever it was called. That little hit squad that Dominion sent out to destroy the evidence on these machines. Now, we know that this hit squad from Dominion has been sent out on other missions to wipe the machines clean. And even if this was not the plan, why would anybody be angry about this? Creating a backup for the machine's election data? What possibly could be wrong with doing that? My point is, this is a line you cannot cross without triggering major reaction from the left. Reluctantly, they will tolerate audits of ballots. But don't look into those machines. Do not question the integrity of the Dominion, ES&S, and all the other machines. Do not question the election machines or the election software that's used on them. Like Connick, an election software company, who services many of these counties, by the way, one of them L.A., where it was discovered its CEO, one Eugene Yu, with CCP ties, was storing sensitive election data on servers in CCP-controlled China. Notice how that story is kind of dying out already? My point, this is a hill the deep state and the CCP-controlled operatives here in the United States working our elections, this is a hill they'll die on. They will go ballistic. They will go scorched earth on this one. They will drop the nukes on any effort that results in the Dominion stealing machines being exposed. You know, the ones they used lately in Brazil to give Brazil to the control of a communist dictator. The ones holding California in the power of God-hating, America-despising socialist dictators, which is the same thing, by the way, with the exception that the socialist dictator will smile when the cameras are on. The Dominion and their counterparts, election-stealing machines, are absolutely too important to the deep state operation to give up. They must keep the machine. They can afford to lose all of what Lindell calls the organic fraud. Oh, they'll fight against the loss of a single inch of ground on this too. Of course, they need it to cover up what they do in the machines. But bottom line, they'll go scorched earth when it comes to protecting the machines. On that hill, they will die. And that's because they know that on that hill, if it's taken, they are gonna die, as it were. The second hill on which the deep state globalists, what I call the Nimrodians, those dedicated to constructing a one-world system of governance where you will own nothing and be happy, you know, where the elites will rule you under a rod of iron, where you will have no say and only one purpose, and that will be to serve your governing masters. You will be their slaves. It will be a great reset, all right. Yeah, you know, the revolution of 1776 inverted the system, turned it upside down. They want to reset it. You see, they put the rulers under the power of the people. We created a system that invested the ultimate authority in we the people and set rulers under them to serve. Their Great Reset intends to put the people under the king, under oppression to the elite masters, and you will be their kept pets. They will feed you what they decide should be your diet. They'll take good care of you, you know. They will direct you into what they decide should be your career. They will make you live in the hovels they decide. You will think what they tell you to think. You will believe what they tell you to believe. You will do what they tell you to do. It's as Schwab said, you will own nothing and be happy. And you will be happy, because if you're not, you'll be sent to a re-education camp and either broken or killed. So those pushing this agenda have constructed the entire operation in such a way it has come to be supported on those two hills by two major pillars. One, they've got to control who has control of the Dominion. And the other? Well, at present, the other pillar supporting the entire operation right now is directly connected to the first one, and it's all about Trump. Trump is the only political force in America that has worked these people up into such a frenzy, and that should tell you something. He's the only political force in America, and really in the world, that can bring down their tower. So, the second pillar is stop Trump. Protect the steal and stop Trump. They must protect the 2020 steal, and they must stop Trump from moving forward with his MAGA movement. The America First agenda has to be stopped. This is because America has the Dominion by divine appointment from God, and in order to take it into their power, the enemy's power, they must eliminate America. It is imperative. And to do that, they must separate America from Christ. They must separate America from the influences of Jesus Christ and his spirit. Oh, yeah. And at this point, they have invested so heavily into this latest effort at erecting Nimrod's tower in defiance of Christ Jesus the King. And in their rage against God and his Christ and their hatred for Christianity and of Christians too, real ones, not talking about that compromised crowd that call themselves Christians, you know. If they don't succeed at doing this by 2035, their house falls. It collapses on their wicked heads. So they are in a panic to save their tower. I mean, it's almost complete. They've got so much invested in this. They are nearing the setting of their capstone on their New World Order edifice. And the weight of the whole thing is supported by two pillars right now. The Dominion stealing machine, and they've got to stop Trump. And it looks like our Samson is going to set himself between these two pillars and bring the whole house down on all their heads. We'll have to see. In the next segment, I'm going to give you an encouraging update on progress in this election month, and then talk about how these events are positioning our Samson, if you will, to stand between the pillars and bring the house down on the heads of these unreasonable and wicked rulers. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Okay, let's offer an update on election month. As it stands today, there are some people I think are very helpful in all this and have something of an inside view of what's going on. One of them is Kash Patel. Kash Up. Pramod or Pramod Patel. Now, Kash worked for Devin Nunes, helping push back against the Hillary witch hunt effort to convince America Trump colluded with Russia to steal the election from her. Yeah, election deniers, you know. But anyway, later he served as senior director of the National Security Council's Terrorism Directorate. He has served as an advisor to Trump and was responsible for leading the investigation that led to the exposure and dismissal of 17 embedded operatives serving Hillary within the DOJ, and with Nunez forcing the truth to come out about the Steele dossier fake nonsense. I guess that makes him a bona fide inside the Beltway source, would you think? And I like him, so there you go. Here are some interesting takeaway insights he laid out in an interview with Dave Medvedev. Someday I'm going to ask that fella how to pronounce his name. But I'll summarize Cash's take on the election as it stands at present. Probably the biggest news is that Nancy has been rebuked. She has lost the gavel. That's huge. It's an answer to prayer for sure, and it's something for which we should be deeply grateful. But it also is very strategic in our effort to get this nation tracking back under God and encouraging those in power to execute judgment upon the evildoers to restore justice in America. This two-tiered system of justice that the Democrats have constructed with the help of their rhino friends has got to stop. We can at least begin applying the brakes to the Democrats' bulldozer and stop it before it completely demolishes the Constitution and our republic. So that's a house-shaking event right there, don't you think? Nancy lost the gavel. The Senate is still in play. Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia could provide the senators we need to take the gavel from Schumer. Cash and others I've heard speak to this say 2024 will likely come down to Nevada and Arizona. Look at this. In New York, Lee Zeldin, running against Hochul for governor, got more Republican votes than anyone in that state since Nelson Rockefeller. Remember him? Many of you young ones don't. He's the rhino godfather. The reality is setting in that the Democrats are losing their grip, and this is unsettling the Democrat House. But we're not done. 4 New York congressional seats flipped red. Whoa! And that is the exclamation we heard from some Democrats looking at this, especially when that Democrat chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, DCCC, and representative for New York's 17th District, Patrick Baloney, lost to Republican freshman Mike Lawler. Wow, that's an earthquake, friend, and it's putting large fissures in the very foundation of the House the Democrats built in New York. The reason you can't feel the excitement about these things comes from the fact that, well, first of all, the MSM in large part shaped our expectations. And second, our own team bought into that. And so many are, you know, a bunch of gloomy pusses, right? So focused on weak candidates that lost, like Oz. You know, that guy's a Muslim who has dual citizenship with Turkey. What? And he lost to the wizardry of Fraud Fetterman, whom the left media is now talking about running for president. Aye, that is a solution for the Democrats. Fetterman, he's got to be more popular than Harris. And they got bungling bitter Biden and with 81 million votes, right? So, hey, Fetterman might be exactly what those 81 million voters want, especially if he's running against Trump. So, Yeah, well, anyway. But our own folks are missing it terribly. I was watching The Five and Gutfeld and Waters, Judge Jeanine, and so on, deflated. They're trying to explain what happened. And here's the thing. There is no explanation that makes any sense at all until you're willing to listen to the huge evidence piling up out there that points to election fraud. I mean, that is the elephant, pun intended, that's in the room. If you'll just pay attention to it, listen to Lindell. Listen to the professor, David Clements. Listen to Frank. Look at the evidence. So the best Judge Jeanine could come up with is, to our surprise, I guess, the abortion issue and fear of destroying democracy by voting Republican. I guess the electorate was more focused on that than we thought they were. What? That is crazy talk. But it's all you have if you continue being an election theft denier. If you reject or simply ignore all the mountains of evidence that screams election fraud. How do you explain what's going on in Arizona right now and in Georgia? Well, you can't. You can't explain how it's possible that Warnock was tracking ahead of Walker in early balloting, which is not unusual. But as the day goes along, as per usual, Walker, or the red line, begins gaining on the blue line. That's red line Walker, blue line Warnock. And then suddenly a spike of votes shows up in the blue line, goes straight up on the graph, straight up, putting Warnock in the lead again. Then, as the day progresses, Walker catches up again, incrementally catches up, and the red line almost touches the blue line when suddenly a Warnock spike occurs. It's just a miracle. And this is nonsense. It's clear evidence that someone's infusing Warnock votes in batches at key moments. And what exposes them is that they messed up. They don't want to make it look too obvious, so they don't want a huge spike like what happened in Georgia in 2020. That was too obvious. That was Georgia, right? After the voting was suspiciously stopped, and then when it picked up, the graph shows a huge spike of an infusion of like 100,000 votes or something straight up for Biden. Look, it's also obvious, but people refuse to see what is right in front of their noses until it finally bites them on their proboscis hard enough to shake them out of their hypnotic stupor and wake them up. Come on, Janine. You know how to examine an argument and to listen to nonsense when you hear it. What these strange things should tell you is that something is very fishy with our elections, and the stink is coming from the Dominion machines. Okay. I don't have time to bring in the fact that 75 of 220 of these machines in Arizona failed, quit working, running out of paper, running out of ink, stuff going on in Pennsylvania. It's nonsense. Totally disenfranchising the voters. And then a court comes behind that and says, just use the drop boxes. Well, the voters don't want to use them for obvious reasons. They saw 2,000 mules. Anyway, that's the way I took it all. But praise God for Tucker. He saw this and he said, what? How can we trust our elections when these machines fail like this? Why are we using this crummy equipment? We can't trust our elections if we don't trust the system that's used to count our votes. Hear, hear, Tucker, you're right on. But as a segue to my DeSantis discussion that I promised, look at what happened in Florida. DeSantis stopped illegal mail-in balloting. He stopped drop boxes and ballot harvesting. He required voter ID to get a ballot. You know that all that DeSantis did was enforce the laws that were already on the books in Florida, put in place, most of them, after the horribly embarrassing debacle that happened in the Bush-Gore race. He commissioned an election force, police officers, to aggressively run down election fraud issues, and they arrested, I think, well over 100, caught them committing election fraud and prosecuted them, right? And that's all in the news right in front of everybody. So, you know, the message was out. We're not going to put up with any nonsense here. And this put a full-throttled kibosh on election fraud in Florida, and it showed up in the vote. Florida has redeemed itself with the safest, cleanest, most honest, and transparent election in all of America today. Well, we've all watched DeSantis, his stellar performance as governor of Florida, how he stood up and stood firm against that strong current, pushing everybody to follow Fauci and the whole COVID nonsense. He challenged that phony Fauci. He stood firm in support of parents' rights regarding masking their children, vaccinations, and he protected the bodily autonomy and independence of the individual. He sided with the Nuremberg protocols, all right? And we watched all of this and we applauded, and all of it deserves applause. But as you know, one thing has always galled me about DeSantis, made me suspicious of him. DeSantis was challenged regarding the Dominion machines used in Florida. The information was put in front of him. He balked, man. Yeah, he flinched, backed away from that. He will not take on the machine. He hit all around the peripheral systems that support the machine fraud, but he refused to touch the hub, the center of the debate, the Dominion machines. We don't know a lot about DeSantis before his governorship of Florida. Let me give you a couple of things you need to think about. It's coming out that the people aligned behind DeSantis are people we might not feel comfortable with, like billionaire Ken Griffin, who explained the reason he decided to pour millions into DeSantis is to groom him to take on Trump. Yeah, he's leading a pack of anti-Trumpers to dump Trump. He says, quote, it's time to move on, end quote. And that's code for COVID amnesty. Let's give him a pass. Move on. And then a 2020 steal amnesty. Oh, let's just move on. We can't keep arguing about that. And guess who aligns up with this character? Jeb Bush, Paul Ryan, Bill Maher, and longtime Trump hater Ben Shapiro, whom I happen to appreciate on many levels, but he is a Trump hater. No surprise, he would align himself with these establishment Republicans. This is the establishment Republican Guard. DeSantis has made every right move that would endear him to the hearts of Trump supporters. This is Absalom Prem. Remember, DeSantis was losing until Trump endorsed him. It's Trump supporters that got him elected in the first place. It's Trump supporters in Florida who in this election carry him to his stunning victory. Every move DeSantis has made has been, I think, calculated to capitalize on the 5+ million voters Trump had or has in Florida. And DeSantis, by the way, picked up 4 million of them. DeSantis has been picked and groomed to take on Trump. You see, that's the other pillar. That's the other hill they will die on. They can't allow Trump to get back into power. They see the pendulum is swinging right, however. Now, I've got to conclude, so let me leave you with this. I'll give you a lot more information in my live stream visit Saturday night, and here it is. The one thing that has consistently galled me about DeSantis, as I pointed out, is he refuses to take on the Dominion machine. He refuses to declare where he is on the steal of the 2020 election. Those Republicans that did not declare the 2020 stolen or challenge the steal, notice they were insulated significantly from the machine steal of 2022. Those that did speak out, like Carrie Lake, look at what she's facing. Think about it, Patriot, and understand they cannot afford to lose Arizona or Nevada or Georgia. So it's concerning because they'll go scorched earth to protect the steal, and they could lose that if we win in Arizona and in Georgia. So pray, my dear friends, God is able. So look to him and come see us Sunday. I'll be talking more to these things. Well, I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. Find contact button. Send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless and save America. And I'll see you in church.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer, because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. www.godswar2020.com